Right now, most churches are planning their budgets for 2009. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the sponsors page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
God, who is an African-American woman, Jesus, who is a Jewish man, and the Holy Spirit, who is an Asian woman. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay.
New Agers want to be able to create religions that will make them feel good.
It's Jefferson and Madison and Franklin talking from the grave through me.
If you're a religious person, you understand that once religion takes hold in a society, it can't be stopped.
Everything that is important to you, everything that is important to you, you commit to memory. Now, I know in the age of cell phones where kids don't even know their own home phone number, their own cell phone number, or that of their friends, because it's all on speed dial, that memorization seems to be a thing of the past. But especially for the Christian, memorization is key. They used to say that memorization was really the mother of learning. And it's still true. And for Christians who are called to not only know, but also to observe all that Christ has commanded us, memorization is still important. Even in the day when we think we can afford not to memorize anything, you still memorize what's important to you. We're going to talk about memorization. Pastor David Peterson will be our guest here for the first half hour of Issues Etc. We're coming to you live this Wednesday, November the 5th. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. After a half hour's conversation with Pastor David Peterson, Marcia Montenegro joins us of Christian Answers for the New Age. We'll talk about the occult, still alive and well. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will be our guest in the second hour of the program. She's from the Ruth Institute. We're going to talk about the outcomes of marriage and life state ballot initiatives. Among all the other things that people were voting on yesterday, gay marriage, abortion, assisted suicide were subjects among them. Congressman John Chimkus will be in studio with us in the middle of the next hour. We'll reflect on yesterday's election, look at the future of both the pro-life movement and the Republican Party, and then Dr. Peter Scare will join us. We're going to talk about peace in the Scriptures. You can join us as well, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, or email us talkback@issuesetc.org. Pastor David Peterson is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of the blog Cyberstones, and he's written an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled Learning by Heart. Pastor Peterson, welcome back.
Thank you.
Before we talk about memorization, its important role in the life and learning of the Christian, you wrote something before the election titled Tuesday's Winner Prophesied. Who really won last night's election?
Well, ultimately, the church wins, because all things work together for good for those who love God. And everything that happens in this world is for the sake of the elect.
Does that mean the disappointment, for some people, the trepidation, the sorrow of the election's aftermath, especially for those who are pro-life, is needless?
Well, yeah, it is needless. I'm not without sympathy, but I mean, there's no reason. We never need worry. We never need fear about these sorts of things. That's not to say that evil things are good, but that all things do work together for good. And when we look at the history of the church, the church has really grown the most and thrived the most in times of persecution. So, if if this particular administration should mean greater persecution for the church, and I don't know that it does, but it does seem to threaten greater persecution of the unborn. But if that's the case, it will certainly be for our good. If that's not the case, it will also certainly be for our good. We sometimes do forget that we are the church militant. And there was, I'm trying to remember who first said this, but one of my favorite lines, you'll never get out of the church militant alive. You know, you're either going to die and be transferred to the church triumphant, or you're going to give up the life of God and lose your faith and be dead. But you can't stop fighting. You don't have the choice here on earth. And it is often the case that when the church has given into temptation and become compromising and looked the other way for false doctrine and so forth, then our Lord in his mercy simply brings the fight to the church in the form of persecution.
Okay, let's talk a bit about memorization. It's not a popular learning technique. In fact, I was raised, and I think this has been the case for about 30 years, I was raised in an educational system, largely Lutheran and parochial, where memorization was considered kind of ridiculous. You didn't have to memorize anything. You needed to understand it, not know the facts. Why, Pastor Peterson?
Why do they say that?
Yes, why was that said, and what's wrong with it?
Well, the idea was if you understood the facts, then you would be able to apply them to a wide variety of things, and they'd be readily accessible to you. That was the theory. But in fact, that doesn't really work that well. If you don't know any specifics, then theories don't do you that much good. And most of the things that we actually need in this life, we need to be able to call up pretty quickly. It doesn't matter if you know how to use a dictionary. If that's all you know, if you don't know any words, the dictionary won't be any good anyway. References require a certain amount of memory anyway. I think the idea with the anti-memory was because there was an abuse of it, that there was sometimes as though simply being able to repeat things was a substitute for knowledge, or at least that was the fear that it would be. In other words, if you knew the statistics of the baseball team, you know, does that make you a baseball player? No. So better to know how to play baseball than to know all the statistics. At least that's the way I understand that kind of the thinking was.
But does Scripture in any way, at any place, eschew or in any way condemn head knowledge? Just head knowledge, not mere head knowledge, but does it condemn knowledge?
Of course not. I mean, in fact, I mean, this is when you look at the history of the world, I mean, the lovers of learning have always been in the church. You know, in the ancient world, it was the Hebrews who taught everybody to read, not simply the wealthy boys who might someday rule, but everybody, and not just the boys, but also the girls. You know, the Hebrews were the first literate people. And, of course, we believe that really goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. There's never been men without words and without the ability to do that. And so you always had the love of learning has been fostered in the church more than anywhere else. The first universities were founded by Christians for the sake of charity and recognizing the gifts of creation and how God has given it to us. So the head knowledge is certainly not condemned in any way at all. And as far as learning things by rote, as that being not true knowledge, that's just a very kind of superficial and I think often lazy opinion. In fact, I heard a great, I think it was on Fresh Air, it was probably 10 years ago, maybe longer, when Billy Collins was the poet laureate. And he was talking on NPR about why it's important to memorize poetry. I may have talked about this on your program before, Todd.
I don't remember, but then since we're talking about memory, I should admit that mine is pretty poor.
It was a great little segment for me and a moment in my life where things really clicked. Where he talked about why is it that that people should memorize poems? Shouldn't they just understand them? If they know what the poem is about, why memorize it? They can always go look it up in a book and read it if they want to read it. And he said this thing that was very profound about poetry and is far more true of the Word of God. And he said, well, when you memorize a poem, then you internalize it and it changes you from the inside out. And he's absolutely right. I don't know of anyone who regrets having memorized the Gettysburg Address or all of the great, or Martin Luther King Jr.'s speech, or these great speeches that children used to regularly memorize in school. Because what happens is you do internalize it, you taste the words, you remember them, they come back to you, you know, when you're driving or when you're at work or when you're in bed in the morning and can't sleep or whatever is going on. And if that's true of poetry and great speeches, it's far, far more true of the Word of God, which is actually the power of God unto salvation. So when we internalize these things, it's more than just simply having them convenient so that we can have them when we need them, though there's a lot to be said for that as well, for being able to speak the Scriptures, to witness, but I think more than that is to simply have the Word of God be in us. And this was very much what God's people would confess every day in the great Shema, that they would dwell upon the Word of God in the morning and in the evening and write it on their foreheads and all that stuff. You know, and we sort of look at that sometimes, I think, we almost look down on that as though, oh, well, that was silly or, you know.
Pastor David Peterson is our guest. We're talking about memorization, really talking about what it means to learn God's Word by heart. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of the blog Cyberstones, and he's written an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled Learning by Heart. I invite your questions and your comments. Here's something you could learn by heart. Our phone number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Or our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. I had a seminary professor. First-year seminarians are really obnoxious. We all came into the classroom thinking we didn't need to learn anything. He said, well, you can't understand what you don't know. He made us memorize the catechism. Think of that. We'll talk about that after this.
Dug up this old photograph. Look at all the hair we had. It's bittersweet to hear you laugh.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Darwin Knack, Deborah Bade, Chester Densmore, Walter Bush, Eric, David Bales, Dr. Paul Bramstead, Luther Bell, Seleucian Joseph, and Roxanne Taggetts. Thanks for your support.
Issues Etc. is a team effort. Your phone calls, email, and snail mail help resurrect this worldwide outreach. Now we need your help to sustain Issues Etc. by making a gift to Lutheran Public Radio today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Help support Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the thinking Christian.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, my people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the Sponsors section of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor David Peterson is our guest for the next 10 minutes. We're talking about learning God's Word by heart. They used to call it memorization. You know, God gave you a memory for a reason. It's not just for the phone numbers and the email addresses. He gave you a memory first and foremost because he wants and desires earnestly for you to know and learn his word. His word, which is the power of God unto salvation. He wants you not only to know and learn, but to believe his word. Well, you can't believe what you don't learn, and you can't learn what you don't know. So it seems to me just a simple logical conclusion that memorization for the Christian is kind of part and parcel of what it means to be a student of God's word. Pastor Peterson, is this why that seminary professor made these green seminary students, thinking they already knew everything, go back and learn their small catechism?
Right. Well, they didn't know as much as they thought they did they?
No.
And, of course, the catechism is really inexhaustible because the catechism is really just the scriptures. The catechism is, of course, it's the ancient way of dividing up really all of the doctrine of summarizing all of the doctrine that has been given us to in the scriptures. So it's chiefly the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, and the Lord's Prayer. That's the first half. And then the second half is the life of the church, which is the sacrament of Holy Communion, the sacrament of baptism, and the office of the keys, or the way, or the office of the ministry. So in memorizing the catechism, all your professor wanted you to do was understand and have at the tip of your tongue the summarized doctrine of the church. And of course, most of that catechism is just nothing but Bible passages, the key Bible passages that explain who we are according to the law, that we are sinners, and that left on our own we'd be damned, that we haven't met the standard that God has established. And then in the creed, that this is how God has provided for us and has given his son that we wouldn't be punished for our sins. So knowing those things and having that at the tip of your tongue enables you then to think about God and to think about his people and then to apply his word to them.
Well, it gives you a language and it gives you a set of categories that are God-given from which you can frame your thoughts about God. In other words, it seems to me that what we lack in the church so sorely today, among the many things we lack, is the language of God's word itself. We've abandoned that for the language of marketing, common sense, reason, all of the other things that would vie for our attention with God's word.
Right, exactly. Well, you know, at the time of the Reformation, one of Martin Luther's big complaints was that the monks had made up new sins, and they weren't real sins. So they were, you know, people were feeling bad about not being monks or something, even though the Word of God never calls people to be monks. We do a similar thing today when, you know, we're against, say, anthropomorphism, or we're against dogmatism, or we're whatever, you know, as though these are the real sins. And even if the things that we're describing are bad, say racism being bad to the environment or something, the problem is if we're not thinking about them in terms of God's law and our place in this creation under that law and as the forgiven people of God who have been redeemed from the law's demands, then we're really just talking nonsense. You know, to be against racism without recognizing that God became a man is just not that helpful, and of course, ultimately doesn't really do anybody any good. It just sort of condemns everybody or makes hypocrites out of everybody.
The other thing it seems to me that the creeds or catechism do for us, besides being excellent aids for learning and knowing God's word, is it kind of gives us some direction. I mean, imagine someone says, yeah, fine, I'm going to try and memorize scripture, but he starts with the Old Testament genealogies or the lists of troops in the book of Judges or something like that. He's kind of missing the point, isn't he?
Yeah, exactly. It's the problem is not all of the scripture is equal in the sense, even though it's all God's word, all given by God, inspired by God, and without error, and all useful for teaching and rebuking. Nonetheless, it's not all equal in that, you know, the genealogies are not the same thing as Luke chapter 2 describing how God became a man. And exactly right. The Catechism gives us a sort of a lens to recognize, because it is a summary of the Bible, and it's not necessarily clear at first reading, especially if you haven't read anything else, what the genealogies or the troop lists have to do with anything. And it's only really over time, when you live in these things, that you can sort of recognize, oh, I see, the genealogy is important because God came to us in history through real people, and they had real problems, and they were real messed up, and they found the grace of God through his gift, and so forth. So, but if you start there, right, you're going to end up with a sort of... You're going to end up like Richard Dawkins does and think, well, the Bible's just confusing and doesn't make any sense and must be contradictory and so forth, because they're just coming at it in a sort of scattered way.
You have written, learning the Word of God by heart doesn't change the meaning of the words. It changes us. What do you mean?
Well, it's obviously the meanings of the words are real and are solid. We don't insert meaning into the words. The words objectively have meaning. But what happens when we memorize the Word of God, when it's inside of us and it's always sort of there in the background or popping up at unexpected times, what happens is those words become deeper and they become more nuanced, and we understand the context of them better. So our understanding of those words becomes greater, and that's because we are changing, and because we're living with the Word of God. The sixth commandment means something different when you're 15 than it does when you're 50. Even though it's the same commandment, objectively the meaning hasn't changed. But when you're 15, you know your temptations are different than when you're 50. And so there's a nuance and a change there that when you live with it, you grow with it.
What does it say, especially in the church today that is so compromised with the concerns and sensibilities of our culture, that there are Christians who have absolutely no problem, in fact, consider it a necessity to have memorized their favorite television channel numbers, their checking account number, the number for pizza delivery on Thursday nights—
Right.
But sometimes adamantly refuse to memorize God's own word.
Yeah, I think there's a real danger there. There's an arrogance there that the idea, I think, is that they're going to somehow keep the Word of God fresh by not memorizing it, as though it's always a new experience for them. The problem with that, of course, is that they're treating it in a very kind of shallow way. You know, they'll watch the reruns of Seinfeld or The Simpsons, and those are, you know, can still entertain them, but the Word of God might grow old. There's a real arrogance there. I think there's also something of an arrogance in us that thinks we don't need to because we can just understand it. And it comes right back to the thing you started with. There's this idea that we understand it, we don't need to memorize it. The other side of this is that if the Word of God is inspired, inerrant, and the way that God reveals himself to us, then it's not just the ideas that are inspired and inerrant. It's the actual words. So the words themselves are important. Every jot and tittle, every bit of it is significant and has something to say. Not that we're necessarily in our fallen flesh going to discern it all right away, but if you just know the ideas, you're missing the details. And it really is in the details where God reveals himself, not the devil. So all of these words, and the way that they feel together is significant. If you just consider the difference between having the vague idea that God is favorably disposed towards us, you know, God thinks kindly of us, and knowing God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I mean, it brings it into a concrete reality. It's not just an idea.
Pastor David Peterson is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of the blog Cyberstones, and he's written an article for the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled Learning by Heart. We've linked to Pastor Peterson's blog and to Higher Things magazine at our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Click on demand. You'll find those links to both Higher Things magazine and Pastor Peterson's blog, Cyberstones. I recommend them both for your reading. Pastor Peterson, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back from this break, we're going to be talking with Marcia Montenegro. The occult is alive and well. In fact, what we've discovered recently with the rise of the at least the popularity of skepticism, rationalism, and atheism in American culture, the new atheists sometimes are selling more books than more sensible people. We've discovered that along with the rise of those kind of rationalistic, pure, or we could say woodenly rationalistic beliefs, oddly enough, a rise in a belief in the occult, too. How could this be? And when you're dealing with someone who is immersed in the occult, what do you need to know to be a Christian witness to them, a witness of the truth of the true supernatural, that is Christ's entrance into our flesh to save a world of sinners like you and me? Marcia Montenegro will answer that question on the other side of this break. In the second hour, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse of the Ruth Institute will be our guest. We'll review the outcomes of some marriage and life state ballot initiatives. A little bit later, Congressman John Shimkus will join us here in the studio to review the election, and then we'll talk about peace in the scriptures with Pastor Peter Scare. I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll be right back.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues, Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues, Etc. Virgil Kopeczka, Jerry Umbach, Michael Teklin, Ed Ringler, Inga Duke, Pastor Paul Nielsen, Mike Garby, Gail Garby, Pastor Alexander Liso, and Howard Fisher. Thanks for your support.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Politics makes for strange bedfellows. The state of Washington has an assisted suicide ballot measure before its voters, and pro-abortion organizations are some of those endorsing this euthanasia effort. Planned Parenthood of Washington called it an important vote to promote progress in the state. Another supporter is NAREL, the National Abortion Rights Action League. It appears to be an effort to develop a political alliance to promote total autonomy for individuals to make decisions regardless of the moral implications. It's the right to choose to kill at both the beginning and the end of human life. What impact could a partnership between abortion and euthanasia advocates have on babies and vulnerable patients? Will it be a trend? We'll have to watch and see.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Ah, the sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.